Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce our panelists. We have Dr. Joel Schultz, all the way from Colorado, and he's also a former police chief, and we have been covering this stuff for years at leoroundtable.com. He is formerly and maybe perhaps still writes for Police One, but has written some just unbelievable, fantastic articles. He's definitely has his fingers on the pulse of law enforcement, and he helps steer us in the right direction when we have a tendency to get confused or not know how to interpret things. So I love having Dr. Schultz on the show. A shout out to our sponsors, and our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com, and we have the CEO, Mike Fadden from Gulls, on the show tomorrow. So that's going to be a special show. We've got a special topic that we're going to be talking about as well. I can't wait. And we also have Compliant Technologies, and they are a satellite sponsor. Thanks to them. I'm starting to lose count here, but I think that we're in our eighth week on satellite radio, doctor. And so thanks to ComplianTechnologies.com. Also, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million followers right now. Also, Two Bells, the Bethel New online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So check that out. You get cool shirts like what I'm wearing. And also, but no bow ties yet. We're working on it. Shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. Thanks for carrying the content, gentlemen, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Yes, we have a breaking news story. Donald Trump scores major win as the Supreme Court of the United States backs big part of his deportation agenda. It was a 6-3 vote. Wait till you hear the good news about that. Also, we've got FBI bust 700 rioters. Bongino warns we're not done. Yeah, that's another great story. Bullets fly in Florida. Deputy and a suspect are injured in a violent traffic stop. It wasn't the traffic stop that did it. It was the female in the back of the cruiser on her way to jail with a gun hidden on her. That's what created the issue. Then we got a more police officer tases and body slams, and it's a heck of a body slam, a suspect who broke into a home. Then we got Albuquerque police release footage of a SWAT officer fatally shooting an armed shoplifting suspect. And then we got a shooter opens fire during a church service. He gets fatally shot by a good guy with a gun. But reading in the article, I could have sworn I read that the good guy took out the bad guy with a car and not with a gun. So we'll see if we get it right here. Oklahoma City police released footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. And then finally, if we had time to get to it, double stabbing and arson suspect fatally shot by Prince George deputy. So let's go and start off, if it's okay with you, Dr. Schultz. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. Donald Trump scores a major win as Supreme Court backs a big part of his deportation agenda. So SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, ruled 6-3 on Monday to grant the Trump administration's emergency request to stay a lower court injunction. Here we go with the injunction again, that it temporarily blocked third country deportations, delivering a short-term legal victory for the White House in its ongoing immigration enforcement efforts. So we still have these federal judges that have jurisdictions all over the United States, but they're weighing in and trying to run the federal government instead of the White House. The ruling allows the administration to move forward with their deportation or deporting certain immigrants that these guys, they're illegals. They came from countries other than the United States, and we want to move them out, but not necessarily to the country of their origin. And so that's what this new Supreme Court ruling is going to allow us to do. It doesn't say anything about trying to return them to their country of origin first, and then if that is denied, then going somewhere else. I kind of expected that, Dr. Schultz, but it didn't say anything about that. But it did say that at the center of the legal dispute, there's a class action lawsuit originally brought before U.S. District Judge Brian Murphy in Boston. So this is part of the problem, this guy. The case involves a group of migrants who contested their deportations to third countries, nations not explicitly listed on their removal orders. Now, the countries named in court documents include South Sudan, El Salvador, Costa Rica, and Guatemala. Judge Murphy had previously ordered that these individuals remain in U.S. custody until they have been provided the opportunity to undergo what he calls a reasonable fear interview allowing them to explain any fear or of persecution or torture that they may face when deported to one of the designated third countries. And I suspect that every illegal would make this move if it will simply delay the process, right? And now we're going to need more judges because we're talking about millions of people here that have been walking across the border over the last 4 years. But Murphy, our judge, clarified in earlier rulings that his injunction did not block the Trump administration from executing removal orders, but required it to comply with applicable legal procedures. Of course, putting us probably, I'm assuming, years behind in the deportation status. Now, the Trump administration appealed the order with the U.S. Solicitor General D. John Sauer. They argued before the Supreme Court that Judge Murphy's injunction was preventing the government from deporting some of the worst illegal aliens. And Sauer, our U.S. Solicitor General, specifically referenced a group that had been ordered to be removed to South Sudan, and they were instead being held at a military facility. The administration maintained that these individuals had been, that they had been given the chance for reasonable fear interviews before further deportation proceedings. So Trump said, the administration said they did that. So the Supreme Court, the ruling marks another key development in the series of legal battles over immigration enforcement under President Donald Trump's second term. And that's kind of where we're at. I'm curious what you think, Dr. Schultz.
Well, first of all, for those of you watching on the video, you can tell that I dressed up for our first solo date. I'm pretty excited about that. And I keep hearing Lou Rawls singing, just the two of us in my head. So thanks for the opportunity. Wow, just so many things going on here. First of all, Boston's a pit in terms of, inviting dangerous illegals in. And so the judge's decision there is not super surprising. Then the Supreme Court has just spanked the federal district judges over and over and over. And maybe, unless there's some legislation that expedites it, maybe they're finally getting the message that, there's a separation of powers, there's a supremacy clause, there's the 10th Amendment, there's due process. And the Supreme Court really has had a good deal of clarity. You say this was a 6-3 decision. Didn't expect a unanimous one, but it was pretty definitive decision. And you're right about, if you're asking somebody, do you not want us to deport you? They're going to say, no, I'm scared. They already lack credibility because they're here without proper legal authorization. Certainly a police officer with that kind of background, would be excluded from giving a credible testimony. It does go back to this issue of, and I've heard different counts, anywhere from 750 to over 1,000 federal district judges. I'm not sure how many there are, but to interfere with executive power against this president, who has arguably the most brilliant set of attorneys around that anticipate every argument, every angle. They're digging through, old statutes and court cases. And it's not even a question of Trump asking forgiveness rather than permission. He knows what he can get away with. And I would add that this argument these criminal aliens are not getting due process. There is due process. It may not be the same due process that you and I would get in a criminal trial, but there is a process to vet and to deport and to, get sign-offs from judicial officials. So it's not the big bugaboo. It's sure, it's kind of scary if you've got a relative that, that might be under the shadow of being accused of being an illegal immigrant. But we're not at this point, especially once they decided, let's not chase farm workers through the fields and raid Mexican restaurant kitchens and those kind of things. When I was at FLETC, I went to a cop shop off campus and bought a Border Patrol hat, and I learned not to wear that to restaurants. Because your level of service changes. I think Trump is kind of on the right track. He's a man of excess. He's unapologetic. He's very transparent. And the Supreme Court, no matter how reluctant they may be to abide by his personality and some of his extreme actions, they're looking at the law, and he's right.
All right. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for the take. Appreciate it. Guys, if you're ready, let's go ahead and hop on to our next one. You know, we have two main stories back to back. They do have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. This next one, RVMnews.com, FBI bust 700 rioters. Bongino warns, we're not done. Some more good news. The FBI has arrested more than 700 individuals in connection with a wave of anti-ICE riots that have swept across multiple Democratic-run cities, according to FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, who, of course, needs no introduction. He goes on to say that he detailed the FBI efforts in cities like Los Angeles and Seattle and Portland, the trifecta there. These locations have been the site of frequent anti-ICE protest and riots over the recent months. We've watched them pretty much burn the city down, or the cities down, on the news over the last month. We warned about these violently acting out in recent riots that we would not tolerate it and that we would not forget. This is Bongino talking. Over 700 arrests have been made in coordination with our federal and state partners. Many of those arrests are members of organized groups, and we are pouring through data in pursuit of more bad actors, according to Bongino. So they're not done. And this is getting even better. So I absolutely love it. There's going to be more to come. He goes on to say that, well, we're already at over 700, but he goes, there's more developments in Los Angeles that we're going to be talking about when we come to commercial break. But guys, it's all good news. If you want to hear more of it, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when we consider going online, it's almost endless, right? But I want to remind you about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does that better or fits that bill better than Gauls@Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls@Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code. It's radio15, and that will get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com until June the 30th. Again, radio15 at Gauls.com, and they have gift cards. We give away two every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friend. So again, Radio 15, or get the gift card, Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. And just so people know, Leo stands for law enforcement officer. A lot of people just don't get it. But whenever you see like Leo on the shirt, or you hear someone say Leo, my ear is always perk up, because, you know, I'm thinking, hey, are they talking about a law enforcement officer? But people, the general public, don't understand the meaning of that, you know, of that acronym. So that's where we get the name for the show. And look, we've been talking about FBI bust 700 rioters. Dan Bongino, the deputy director of the FBI, warns that they are not done yet. So we left off talking about over 700 arrests have been made in coordination with federal and state partners, and many of those were organized groups. And he says that we're not done. We're in the process of identifying and moving in on those who threw rocks at law enforcement officers and damaged property. I told you we would not forget. I wasn't kidding. Stay tuned for more. I love it. Dan Bongino. Awesome news. And maybe these guys will get a little bit of a pucker factor. I get tired of watching cities like L.A. And look, I know the administration's having the cops stand down, not letting the cops do what they really want to do. But, you know, watching people burn stores and looting and running out with these big screen TVs and with jewelry just drives me crazy. Further developments in Los Angeles became earlier this week, according to our article, when Bill Esali, U.S. Attorney for the Central District of California, announced federal charges against a guy that was accused of distributing heavy-duty face shields to rioters. So, and I see the chief nod his head, and he remembers this when it happened. So, according to officials, a suspect was captured on video. He's dropping off boxes of protective gear. People thought it was like masks and stuff at first, but it was from the back of a black pickup truck during the June 9th riot in downtown L.A. And, this guy's got a new home for a while. So Chief Schultz, thoughts on this one?
You know, I'm as worried about science fiction Big Brother as every citizen should be. But when it comes to technology and solving these things, you know, you realize you've got facial recognition, you've got stationary cameras, you've got license plate readers. You've got, I understand there was a drone in the air, you know, the kind of drones that can see what time it is on your digital watch, you know, from height. And so all these things have been put together. Not to mention the social media, the lawful social media surveillance that can be done from open sources. So if the FBI is really going to pull some resources into solving this criminal behavior, I think that's a great use of technology for public safety. You know, these guys, and we've said this before on this show, more than just me, and I like going to riots. I went to Ferguson, I went to Portland, I went to Seattle. They're one that just happened to happen when I was in Seattle to do a ride along. One of the guys that I rode with, his partner was involved in a shooting the next night. And so we were going to, get a picture taken in front of all Starbucks in Seattle, which I didn't realize, you know, we quit at 17 and, you know, but we were going to our like 16th Starbucks and all of a sudden this riot started. There are very few spontaneous riots in this day and age. And what the FBI is doing is protecting the First Amendment rights of lawful people gathering to protest, to demonstrate, to exercise their right to free speech. And the biggest threat to that is not the National Guard, it's not the FBI, it's not LAPD and riot gear. It's these criminal actors, these conspirators who get bussed in, shipped in, agitate, pay protesters, provide the supplies. It is a criminal enterprise to do some of these things that cause agitation. Now, no doubt some innocent people get caught up in the crowd psychology and do things that they may go home and regret, like we see sometimes. But this idea that people have that these folks are just exercising their First Amendment rights. Yes, most of them are, but there are some criminal actors. I wouldn't just call them rioters or protesters, but criminal actors who are intentionally setting up opportunities to injure police officers, to reduce their credibility, to get the bad optics on video and send out wrong narratives, and to provide equipment to the rioters to do more damage. So I applaud Bongino and his efforts and his announcement, and it really ought to put fear in the people who think that they can get away with this stuff and interrupt the lawful exercise of our citizenry.
Hey, you bring up a good point, because when they're doing it the wrong way, it's kind of like the people that the illegals that come over and the people that are trying to come over, they're on a waiting list to come over legally. You know, it just kind of screws up the system. And you're right. The protesters that are not going through the proper channels, that are not doing it peacefully and stuff. And of course, I do agree. We know now that they are being funded and, you know, financed, and it's organized. You're completely right. I'm a little worried about you, about the everywhere you go, the riots follow you around, Chief. But there's a few flags there. But other than that, no, I think it's great. I just think there is part of me that still believes it's sad that it's taken the FBI and their resources to do this when I just don't feel it should be there. If there was a use of force or I'm sorry, a show of force from places like L.A. and Portland and Seattle. And they nipped it in the bud. And if you have to call in the National Guard or whatever, you know, you can get the manpower and the troops to do that. Call neighboring agencies, you know, like you do when you have a DNC, RNC, Super Bowl or whatever. But they stand down, and it enables these people. And now they're in a situation where the federal government on my tax dollars is having to go ahead and save the day. And I kind of resent the fact that we have to get it done that way.
You know, in Portland, a federal judge says you cannot have cameras looking on the crowd. But of course, the cops can be filmed and everything else. So, you know, this is a good turnaround. It's healthy. I think it's good for our democracy.
Well, I'm glad these guys are going to be held accountable. Guys, we're coming up for our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those that are on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. Now, MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, this is where they come in. MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. And their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. Plus, they continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. When safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how they equip your team today by going to complianttechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's complianttechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now we're going to be talking about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up actually on the 25th of June, undercover operations. Wow, sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Bluethegold.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBluck, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief as well. And wow, we've been talking about the Trump victory, the U.S. Supreme Court allowing him to deport, you know, the illegals to different countries now, and no matter what the lower court judge said. And now, of course, Dan Bongino, the deputy director for the FBI, has announced that they've arrested over 700 of these rioters, and there's more names to come. The feds have stepped in to clean it up in places like L.A. and Seattle and Portland. So we've got an update story that we're going to be talking about next. And I think I'm going to go ahead and do a shuffle here for the chief and talk about the church shooter. So are you ready? Do you have your seatbelt on and you're ready to go, Chief Schultz?
Let's do it.
All right. Excellent. RVMnews.com, Red Voice Media. Shooter opens fire during a church service, gets fatally shot by a good guy with a gun. And this is what we're talking about, guys. Even on yesterday's show, when we're talking about the bombing, which made the rest of my year, when we finally, took out Iran, you know, at least these nuclear facilities, whether or not the enriched uranium was there or not, the capability to produce these bombs, we definitely set them back. But we need to be, you need to be vigilant and on your guard, on your A game. And that's why we have things like HR 218 or LEOSA, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, so we can carry, you know, in all over the place. But a Sunday morning church service at Cross Point Church in Wayne, Michigan, violently interrupted when a 31-year-old white male suspect crashes his Ford F-150 into the building, and then he starts shooting at the congregation. One churchgoer was injured, and the suspect was fatally shot by a member of the church security team. Now, the incident started around 11:15 in the morning, approximately 30 minutes into the worship service, which included numerous children and families that were there for vacation Bible school. Wow, what a tough time, because whenever I used to teach vacation Bible school, and I stopped being able to do it when the show went live during the lunch hour, up until then, I was doing it every year. That was always my worry, a threat when all these kids are there. This is what happened. Authorities have not released the name of the deceased suspect. That's the best news in all this thing. The guy's dead. But Deputy Chief Finley Carter III of the Michigan State Police Department confirmed that the guy drove his truck into the church building before he opened fire. And one male victim was shot in the leg but survived. Now, the FBI is assisting the ongoing investigation. And here we go. Dan Bongino, again, deputy director of the FBI, released a statement on X saying that the FBI is on site in Wayne providing assistance and investigative support. Wow, the FBI is, it's the new FBI. Cross Point senior pastor Bobby Kelly Jr. told the Detroit News that a church member had intervened by striking the attacker with a vehicle just before the church's security guard opened fire. Okay, so he said that he was run over by one of the church members who saw what was happening when he was coming into the church. Pastor Kelly estimated that approximately 150 people were inside the church at the time of the attack, including, of course, many children, because it's vacation Bible school. Cross Point Church has been dedicated, or they've had a dedicated security team for more than a decade. Good for them. And they made that decision based on rising violence targeting churches and other places of worship. So if you have a church, especially if you're on the pastoral staff or a pastor, and you have not, you don't have a system in place, Man, I tell you, there's just no excuse. You guys are making a huge grave error that could affect people's lives, and you need to get on the ball. But Dr. Joel Schultz, I understand you may have some inside information on this, so I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, it's borrowed information based on Keith Graves' organization, Christian Warrior Training, .com. He always does a debrief when we have an incident, whether it's an internal issue or crime on the church property or even pastoral misconduct. And so he was connected with somebody who was on scene. And here's the sequence. And first, I want to undergird this by reminding people, as you did at the introduction, that there are organized people and lone wolf people who want to do what terrorists do, whether they're connected to a group or not, which is to find a soft target, which this wasn't, and to find something that's going to have an emotional and symbolic attachment. And for people who are not familiar with evangelical churches and what Vacation Bible School is, it's a week of little kids that are doing Bible stuff and games, and it's just really a delightful time for kids, and people look forward to it. So just a really good target for somebody that wants to shake up a community. So here's the sequence that Keith came up with from his contact, that the suspect actually walked onto the property. And so I think from his perspective that the truck involved was a church member's, and we'll talk about that as kind of in the context that's already been mentioned. And he was kind of in military clothing, like dark clothing or camo clothing. And he had a long gun, and it's been reported as an AR style. And based on Keith's analysis, and again, he may not be right either, but he was talking to somebody on scene. It might have been more likely an AK type weapon. And based on the soundtrack from the video and from witnesses, it might likely have been modified for full auto or a bump stock, because there was some rapid firing. So a guy's coming in late to church, probably went by to get his Starbucks first before he came to church. So he's coming in late to church in his pickup truck, just a regular member, not part of the security team. And he sees this guy obviously headed toward, and I don't know at what point the shots were fired. The first shots were fired into the pastor's office as the guy approached the church. So this guy just uses his vehicle as a weapon, which I'm a big advocate of. I love when I see that, when cops do it and when civilians do that. And so he bumped this guy, laid him down on the ground. So they have a locked entry system that is guarded by a safety team member. And when all this commotion went on, a well-meaning lady from the church thought, oh my gosh, this poor man's got hit by a car. I'm going to go help him to see if he needs help, and unlocks the door, opens the door. And then the bad guy fires into the door, at this point hitting the safety officer in the leg. And then the safety officer returns fire. The bad guy either stays down or goes down, and then he starts to reload. And that's when they unload a couple of safety team members to completely put him down. So, a couple of observations about that. As you pointed out, the need for a safety team in this day and age, it's not unchristian, it's not unbiblical to protect yourself and protect the innocent and to use force wisely against evil. And the only critique or observation I have about this, because they all did a good job, they deserve, gold certificates. They'll get sued, but, bless their hearts anyway, is that there's a tendency when something happens, and I particularly talk about this when it deals with school safety, I consider that one of my areas of expertise, there's this impulse to evacuate. And many, many, many times, protecting in place with a barrier and accountability is a better strategy than evacuation. And I hate to see this in school shootings. The first thing everybody wants to do is to get out, get out, get out, get out. When people are, there's been zero K through 12 students who have been killed by a school shooter who were behind a locked door when the bad guy was on the other side of the locked door. Now, we've had kids killed in classrooms, clearly, but never any that have been behind a locked door. Now, I say K through 12 because, the Virginia Tech killer did kill a professor who was behind a door in a classroom. So I limit that to K-12. But protecting in place, even at the time when things have stabilized, you know, you've got a crime scene to work, you've got accountability, you've got parents that are coming. Why are we having these kids run through open fields, go gather in some other place that may not be as safe, exposing them to fire? So just, again, as a lesson learned, think about protecting in place if the bullets are going to be flying, so you don't get in the path of it. But good job for the church community.
Yeah, I totally agree. I one for the good guys. Since we're talking about security, I know that some churches like to do their own thing. Let me just throw out there that if you hire a professional, someone, let's just say maybe prior law enforcement or military that has a lot of experience, and they've got state licenses and they've got insurance where they have multi-million-dollar coverage that backs them up for what they do, so that helps takes the liability umbrella off the church's shoulders and puts it on them. Whenever you start doing things in-house, you start taking your parishioners to the gun range or telling them, teaching them how to shoot and stuff, puts a lot of liability on a church from my experience, and I don't like it. I always recommend going outside if you can, and there may be a cost associated with it, and especially hiring off-duty. There is a huge benefit to having a uniform, presence. There is, in some occasions, a plainclothes, presence as well. For most churches, though, that uniform deterrence is what you're going to be looking at. But I just had to throw that out there. We're 10 seconds away. We're going to a commercial break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. As law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're having your own agency, you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Dan O'Kelly's got a great deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, the website, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip the Block, your host, and we're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, former police chief as well. And look, we just got done talking about a church shooting, and now we're going to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, has got this story. Albuquerque police released footage of a SWAT officer fatally shooting an armed shoplifting suspect.
Suspect, put your hands up, step out to me.
Not a lot of armed shoplifters out there, and it can kind of change it from a petty theft shoplift, to if he's going to be armed, it can turn that into an armed robbery, just in a matter of a second or two. But let me just say that this story does have a video component. So if you're listening to our show audibly, maybe your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we have a story with a video component that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel, because the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, our producer, Will Statcher, he'll create a special version of the live show. He'll embed every video that we talk about and put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as you're watching the show. And again, that is at 9 o'clock the very next morning, Eastern time, that we do that Tuesday through Saturday. So Albuquerque police released footage of a SWAT officer fatally shooting an armed shoplifting suspect. not a lot of SWAT call outs on a shoplifting call, but this is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So Albuquerque police say the incident started when an officer was responding to an unrelated call at a Family Dollar. And as the cops arrive, what do they see? They see a 44-year-old suspect, Derek Pickett, and he's running from the store. He has stolen items in his possession, and he's got employees chasing him. And they alert the cops that Pickett had stolen items. So it was just like the perfect storm, right? Right place, right time. As the officers reacting to the shoplifting, our bad guy Pickett brandishes a firearm in his waistband, and he said he could not go back to jail. And so the story gets better. Pickett continues to flee on foot, and now he barricades himself in a shed. Now, as officers are attempting to negotiate with our bad guy, he fires a shot from inside the shed. An officer returns fire. No one ends up being injured in that exchange. And now we've got about a two-hour time period before SWAT gets there. Now we got the SWAT team, and they take over. So SWAT continues to negotiate for about another 2 hours. So, wow, I didn't really realize that earlier, but we got a four-hour window from the time the guy enters this stupid shed. 4 hours. And I can imagine it being, you know, hot and, you know, now he's, you know, probably dehydrated and stuff. So 4 hour window, SWAT's out there, and SWAT's got these, they got gas masks on too. So I don't know if they, it doesn't say that they deployed gas, but even our shooter, you can hear the breathing in the mask while he's doing it. So I don't know why they were all geared up. So there may have been a deployment of some kind of gas or something, but they continue to negotiate for another 2 hours, bringing it to 4 hours, utilizing a throw phone, and that's commonly used to communicate with barricaded suspects. So police said that our bad guy Pickett emerges from the shed, and there's a video of this. There's no doubt. He grabs the phone, and then he further exits the shed with a firearm in his hand, and he raises it. Now, when he raises it, it looks to me like it's a pistol, not a revolver. He's holding it with his right hand. He puts it up to the right side of his head. Now, as he raises the firearm, we have an officer next to like a SWAT van, and he's got, you know, a rifle, and he fires a single shot at Pickett. It looks like it blows right through his chest, right? And but it says that there's also a less lethal round, and a third cop fired a flashbang. And flashbang, you normally just toss. I'm not sure how they mean by that, but Pickett ends up being hit and killed. There's a lot of screaming involved though, before he ends up dying. So officers, but you know, the weird thing is just that, the officer with the rifle and the body cam, he gives command, say, hey, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, I'm going to shoot you again. I remember him firing another single round, you know, from the rifle. So I don't know if the guy died after that second shot or not. It doesn't really clarify. Officers recover a handgun, a magazine, and for people watching the show, not a reading magazine, but the magazine or the clip that goes in the gun, and ammo. And he finds drug and paraphernalia in the backpack that the bad guy had. And police said the gun was not stolen, that it was legally purchased by our bad guy Pickett. So that's the way this thing ends. Dr. Joel Schultz.
This was one of the most graphic and brutal videos of an incident that I've seen. And first of all, let me tell you, I love Albuquerque PD. I don't love Albuquerque. But I tell you what, if you want to see some action, it's not like Tampa where you might go a week without a hot call and your bullets get rusty. Albuquerque's a hot town. And I think they pulled out. It almost looked like a trade show. They pulled out so much stuff. They've obviously got a drone in the air. They had the less lethal. They had, they had the armored vehicle, which, by the way, I hope we're done being afraid of cops having armored vehicles. They're rescue vehicles. They're bullet resistant. They get people in, they get officers in where they otherwise couldn't go. So they're a good investment. And sure, a lot of them are MRAPs, Army surplus. Nobody wants an MRAP, but not everybody can spend $250,000 to $500,000 for a customized armored vehicle anyway. But I think to answer the question about the gas mask, and I was worried about this too, you'll notice they had one of the smaller tracked breaching vehicles, and it looked like the tracked vehicle's the barrel was right up against that shed wall. So I think what they did is they poked a hole in the wall and injected gas.
Gotcha.
Which is, you know, one of the functions of one of those little tracked things, and explains the gas thing. Some people, critics might say, well, it was just shoplifting. Why do you need to kill a guy for that? And obviously, as you said, that turned into an armed robbery, basically. And I, 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 I get the image of these employees from the store running after this guy. It reminds me of, you remember the In-N-Out SWAT team on that guy that was ramming cop cars in the In-N-Out, and they surrounded him.
Oh, the In-N-Out burger, yeah.
But the initial response was like four In-N-Out peoples in their uniforms. I thought, wow, that they could use some of this gear. But, you know, he's obviously a dangerous guy. He's obviously a desperate guy. Which they knew over the period of conversation with him. And another critic might say, well, he had the gun to his head. You don't kill a guy that's trying to kill himself. And it wasn't pointed at the officer. Let me tell you, if how many milliseconds does it take to turn the barrel from being pointed at your own head to somebody else's head? So a suicidal suspect can always become a homicidal suspect. So I don't have any sympathy for the guy threatening to kill himself, thinking that everybody would back off. You know, bless his heart, he was in a bad position. But it was a good shoot. It was brutal because the average citizen will look at that and say, well, the guy's coming out. He's got the gun to his own head. What threat is he? He is an imminent threat, and deadly force needed to be used. And whether that was a less lethal round or an initial shot, he's like so many suspects we see on these videos. He kept going. It did not comply. You get shot, and man, again, I've never seen blood gush like that, you know, out of the back from a front shot, you know, other than in the movie. So he was obviously devastated, but it took another shot to stop the threat. So good work, Albuquerque PD, good work, SWAT team, and good work for all that technology and machinery that they had available for that call.
Yeah, I agree, Doctor. Good analogy. You know, I know that, assuming that, you know, don't automatically assume when you watch these things that, and I'm not talking to you, Chief, I'm really talking to the viewers and the listeners. Don't always assume that the video and the audio is synced, you know, exact precisely, because sometimes it's not. And another thing is that when you're a shooter and you make that determination to pull the trigger, and this is not going to be a rapid fire, this is going to be a nice controlled shot, because, you know, you want it to go where you, it's to the cop very possibly. Let's assume that the audio and video was, you know, synced properly. Even then, the cop could have already made the determination when that gun moved and it was going up to the guy's head. At that point, when he saw the gun move, he could have made the determination that I'm pulling the trigger. And by the time he pulled the trigger, the guy had it up to his head. And that's always possible as well, because you have that natural delay.
Yeah, unless you've got a quick draw kind of shooting situation, if you've got, okay, something's coming, I think every cop has a line in their mind. If this happens, the trigger gets pulled.
Yeah, no, you're right. So, so good analogy, and you're absolutely right. We've done scenario based training where we've had bad guys simulate guns to their head and then pointed at us, and we've got a gun pointed at the bad guy, and he's got a gun to his head, and every time he takes us out before we even get a round off, it is literally impossible to defend from. If he's got that gun out to his head, and you've got, even if you have your gun pointed at him, there's no way you can protect yourself before he gets one or two rounds off.
Just, and that was a decision that the bad guy made.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that's his bad. Great show, Dr. Joel Schultz. Thank you so much. And how can people get your books again real quick? We got about 15 seconds.
SchultzCo@gmail.com. If you just want to know what it's about, or you want to see a sample or get a bundle of them, just send an inquiry. Be glad to chat with you.
Love it. Love it. And the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Want to mention them as well. A shout out again to our sponsors, Galls at Galls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells have built a new online store. We appreciate everyone's support. Thanks, guys. And we will look for you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.